Live to see it, friends. I'm Phil Bauermaster, and this is Fast Forward Radio. With me, as always, is my co-host, Stephen Gordon. Live to see it, Stephen.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic, and how are you?
I'm great.
Well, I think we owe the listening public an explanation about our rather extended hiatus. I was going to make up a series of excuses around the fact that I was on sabbatical at work, and then I realized that your contract actually did have paternity leave written right into it. So,
that's right. That's right. I've had my fourth son over the break, and you know, life catches up, and you know when you have obligations like that, you just tend to them, and unfortunately, podcasting has to take a back seat.
So well, you know, sometimes it does. I mean, when you have your fourth son, and now you guys are going to start on the four girls, is that right? Or
you know, we kept trying for a girl. And I said, you know, maybe we were meant to have boys, Sherilyn. So that's where we're at.
It looks that way. Well, it's a sturdy group. It's a sturdy crew you got going there. So congrats on that. And let me talk a little bit about what I was doing during your paternity leave. Thanks for the time off. I actually made it to the Accelerating Change 2005 conference, which was held at Stanford University a few weeks ago. That's the conference that's put on by John Smart's organization, obviously, the Accelerating Studies Foundation. And this was quite an event, Stephen, as I'm sure you know, and wish you could have been there.
Me too. I understand you met some really interesting people while you were there.
Definitely did. Got to meet Ray Kurzweil for the first time. Met Dave Goebel, the co-founder of the Methuselah Mouse Prize, along with Aubrey de Grey. Met some friends from the Singularity Institute for Artificial Intelligence, Michael Anisimov and Tyler Emerson and Eliezer Yudkowsky. And met up with an older friend, a friend I've known longer, which is Christine Peterson from Foresight Nanotech Institute.
Well, you got a chance to interview her too, didn't you?
That's right. We have an interview, and that's will be part of our show today. We'll be going to that shortly, which is kind of a new thing for us on Fast Forward Radio, something we've been looking forward to adding, which is having guests, and I think, thanks to the crowd that I got to kind of rub elbows with at ASF 2005, we're going to be able to do a series of these over the next few weeks, and it's very appropriate, for reasons that will become clear in the interview, that very appropriate that we started it with the discussion with Christine.
Well, you know, sometime we might want to do a tech show on how to podcast with Skype. Just let our listeners know that it's actually possible to record a telephone call that way if you know what you're doing.
Well, I'm becoming an expert on it, although I still have no idea what I'm doing. But I put all the buttons in place, and then somehow magically it happens. So yeah, once we actually understand what we're doing, I think that would be an excellent idea.
Well, it was a bit of trial and error before you got Christine on the phone, I know. But enough preliminary chat, Phil. Let's get into the interview. Without further ado, here's Christine Peterson.
We are very honored to have our special guest, Christine Peterson, with us today. Christine is a founder and the vice president for public policy of Foresight Nanotech Institute, which, of course, is the world's leading public interest group on nanotechnology. Through her writing and public appearances and serving on numerous advisory boards, Christine acts as a thought leader. She helps business and government and the public as a whole to understand and prepare for coming technologies. She's also noted for being one of the original drivers behind the open source software movement and the originator of the term open source. Christine, welcome to Fast Forward Radio.
Thank you.
Well, we're really honored to have you here, and I thought I would start off with a few easy questions. Not that I have any questions that are likely to be particularly challenging for you, but maybe what I should say is let's start off with some basic questions. First off, what is Foresight Nanotech Institute? And maybe by way of answering that, you can also help out those of our listeners who aren't yet completely up to speed as to what this whole nanotechnology thing is all about. So what's the institute? What's the technology? What are we talking about here?
Foresight is a nanotechnology think tank and public interest organization. We were founded back in 1986 at the very earliest days of nanotechnology, and we educate the public policymakers. We bring researchers together at our research conferences. Basically, we try to form a nexus point for those who are interested in nanotechnology to come together. As for what is this nanotechnology thing all about, it's nanotechnology originally was defined to mean building with atomic precision, building okay. materials, devices, and systems.
And does it still mean that now, or what does it mean?
Well, I think there's been some blurring. This original idea of atomic precision, it is still used, but I think also there's a lot of people who use the term to mean a broader variety of materials that have something interesting going on at the nanoscale, but perhaps are not actually atomically precise.
Well, we hear about things like nano stain resistant pants. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about at Foresight. How would you distinguish the term as it's being popularly used from what Foresight uses the term to mean?
Well, we actually, at this point, we're kind of going along with the crowd in terms of how we use the term.
Oh, okay.
It has been broadened. The U.S. federal government uses it in a broader way. So it really, it's okay to use it in the broader sense. What we are, in terms of which of the many, many segments of nanotechnology we feel is the most exciting, perhaps the term we use now for that is productive nanosystems, which has the original meaning, building materials, devices, and systems to atomic precision. And that's where you get the real power of nanotechnology kicking in.
Okay, so with that kind of definitional space in the way, and now we're saying we don't mind if Apple calls it the iPod Nano. Actually, I heard a funny thing the other day. Someone said that maybe the word nano had become the new turbo, right? It was just kind of a word people were attaching to things because it has a little bit of, resonance to it. It seems kind of hip and fun. So we're okay with that. And with that background out of the way, let's get in a little bit deeper into what's new in the world of nanotech and what are the exciting things that we haven't heard about yet? Are there scary things happening? What are the big challenges and what are the big opportunities that we're seeing now?
There's a huge amount going on right now. It's almost even hard to grasp the rate of progress and the breadth of it because of the way the term is used, it applies to most of material science and a great deal of chemistry. And, of course, those areas are producing new materials, new devices by leaps and bounds. It's a very fertile time for those fields. So it's almost hard to get across the magnitude of it. We are most interested right now in terms of projects. We're most interested in our roadmap project for productive nanosystems, but that's just one road mapping project in nanotechnology. There have actually been a number of others that are looking at areas of nanotechnology other than the atomically precise systems that interest us the most.
So what's on the roadmap? What goes into that project?
It's called the Technology Roadmap for Productive Nanosystems, and what it is it's going to take over a year to accomplish this. What we want to do is try to sketch out how to get from where we are today in terms of research to these actual productive nanosystems that will be able to build materials, devices, and systems to atomic precision. It's a big task, but we've got a wonderful steering committee put together for it, and I think we've got some great supporting organizations. So I think we're up to the task of at least doing a sketch of what's going to happen over the next few years, the next decade, and beyond to get to these productive nanosystems.
So with a map with that kind of a time scale on it, Are we seeing milestones that would include the nanobots, the nanorobots interacting with us in interesting ways that we haven't seen outside of maybe science fiction and some scenarios that that crop up on the web from time to time? Are we talking about those kinds of things showing up on the roadmap? What are the big juicy pieces that are out there waiting for us?
Well, I think this particular roadmap is not quite as long term as what you were describing.
Okay.
Excuse me. This is starting from where we are right now and getting to this ability to build with atomic precision. Once you can do that, of course, then you start to say, wow, now we have these new abilities. What can we build? How do we do the software to control those things? And then you get off into some pretty exotic stuff. But this particular roadmap is very basic, saying, look, how are we going to get to this ability? This is a fundamental ability. We're nowhere near that right now. And so it's going to be a very highly technical document, and it's not going to push out quite as far as some of the longer term applications, particularly some of the more ambitious medical applications. I think those are all going to happen, but I think this roadmap is going to be slightly near term.
Okay, so this is groundwork. This is infrastructure that we're going to need in order to make some of that more fantastic seeming stuff that's a little further down the road be possible.
Yes, I think infrastructure, the term you used, infrastructure, is an excellent one. I think that really gets across what the goal here is with the roadmap.
Great. Okay. Well, now let's talk about what's coming up this weekend. Now, you and I first met at a Foresight conference about 2.5 years ago. And
okay.
I think it was then, and I'm very disappointed to say that I haven't been back to one since, because that was a real life-changing event for me. Both my blog, The Speculist, and this podcast are, you know, indirect, if not direct, results of my having attended that conference. So I personally can't recommend such an event highly enough to our listeners. And in fact, I've been plugging the event for weeks on my site. And so now I feel like here's a golden opportunity for you to tell us what's going to be happening at the upcoming conference and kind of give us an insider scoop. What's going to be going on?
Well, first, thanks for those kind words about the conference. And I have to admit that it's true. I have heard these kinds of things before from other folks who've attended some of our meetings. And if you're not very familiar with these ideas already, it's a great place to get up to speed.
Yeah, it's almost unfair for me to ask, because you can hardly do it justice by talking about it. I really urge everyone to attend, but let's give it a try. What are we looking for?
Well, this year we have taken our two annual conferences and actually put them in sequence, so that people who want to can attend both all at once on one trip. So the first 2 days are the Foresight Vision Weekend. This is a members-only event where we look at the longer term of nanotechnology and some of the more dramatic consequences, especially, for example, to medicine, to defense, to privacy, all these kinds of very controversial things. And this, I think, is where people become the most excited, because you're really sketching some pretty dramatic changes that are coming, and we feel they're coming, you know, within our lifetimes. And we also plot and scheme about what we might want to do about these kinds of things. For example, this year we've got four sessions where we'll be doing things such as designing an XPRIZE for nanotechnology. If you have been tracking space technology, you know that recently the XPRIZE was won for a dramatic advance in space technology. And the folks who designed that prize, particularly Peter DeSantis, who has just come on the Foresight board, is very interested in doing a similar thing in nanotechnology. So he's going to be coming and telling us about that. That's very exciting.
Now, do we have an idea yet what the goal of that will be? What, you know, for example, the XPRIZE, we had some very specific criteria that had to be hit in order to achieve the prize. Do we have maybe in a broad sense an idea of what someone working on the nanotech XPRIZE will be going for?
Well, the folks who come to the Vision Weekend are the ones who are going to help decide that.
Oh,
so we're going to do a brainstorming session where the folks who want to get involved in designing that prize can attend and get their ideas in there. So it's at the very early stage. So for those of your listeners who enjoy those kinds of things. This is their opportunity to participate in that process.
Wow. Well, now I'm even more depressed that I'm not going to be there. So what can we say to those who are listening who, like me, unfortunately won't be able to attend the conference, but who would like to learn more about nanotech or get involved with the Institute? What should they do?
Well, if you can't come to the conference this year, we totally understand. We will be doing some recording. We aren't going to be posting the entire meeting, but a few key events will certainly be going up. I would say, obviously, we would hope that you would join the organization and participate online. We do have WebEx meetings, for example, where people can participate from a distance, and I know not everyone can just hop on a plane for these conferences. And, of course, you're all welcome to join me in our online discussion area. We have our blog where I post daily, and you can join that discussion at nanodot, which is a subset on our website.
And that's nanodot.org, is that right?
If you go to nanodot.org, that will refer you to the. That's, we used to have it at that URL. It still works, so just use that. Or you can just go to our homepage, foresight.org, and click on blog, and it will take you right there.
Okay, so foresight.org is the place to maybe to start to get information on that. Also, we do link to Foresight from the Speculist for anyone who didn't catch that initial URL. Well, Christine, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, it's been great, and I'm sorry you won't make it this year, but I hope to see you in a future year at the meeting.
Absolutely. You have a great conference, and be sure to tell them that Phil and Steven from Fast Forward Radio say hi.
I sure will.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Phil, that's a fascinating interview. One of the things that struck me was the fact that they're actually – using at her institute, they've decided to use the more popular definition of what nanotech is.
Yeah, I think that's a strategic move on their part. Why fight City Hall, right? I mean, people are going to use the term anyway. As Christine was quick to agree that I think it was Glenn Reynolds who said, or he might have been quoting someone, that nano had become the new turbo. And if marketing people are going to be sticking the word nano on everything, anything and everything, then there's no point in trying to fight this purist battle about what nanotechnology means. Instead, let's go ahead and use the term. It's a popular term. People like it. But let's also be very specific about the kinds of things that we're working for as an organization. I think that's a good strategic move on their part.
Well, perhaps, Phil, but, you know, my only criticism is that, you know, there's nothing in the universe that, if you define nanotech broadly enough, there's nothing in the universe that's not nanotech.
No, that's true. That's true. But I think if you get into the nitty-gritty, if you get into the specifics of what's happening with, say, the roadmap project, then you're going to see objectives that are very seriously aimed at molecular nanotechnology, molecular manufacturing, some of these other more precise terms that have been used in the past. But the manufacturing, as Christine said, manufacturing to atomic precision. That's really what the Institute stands for, and if people use the word nanotechnology to mean other things in addition to that, you know, that's okay too.
Okay. All right. Well, like you say, why fight City Hall, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Of course, you know, the spooky stuff would have to require atomic precision, right?
Well, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about what Christine had to say was very, very much on the unspooky stuff. Right. She was taking us down the road of we're here, we're working with industry, this is real, this is happening, we're putting together a roadmap, we're on the very specific kinds of infrastructure that it's going to take in order to really make this revolution take off. And I think that says something about where we are now with this technology. I think it says that we're beyond the speculation and imagining and fantasizing stage. We're at the point where the rubber is really hitting the road, where industry and society need specific guidance, actually getting us to the stage where these kinds of things can happen. So whereas you and I want to talk, you know, I get Christine on the phone and I want to talk about nanobots and utility fog and advanced medical treatments and replicators and space elevators and things like that. And it's not that the folks at the Institute aren't interested in those things. And again, I think if anyone who went to the conference they would learn that they very much are interested in those things. It's that we got to get through a phase of really starting to make this happen before we can have all those wonderful things.
Right, and I think that there may be a credibility gap there. If you're always talking about those things and you're not talking about what can actually be done today, you're not going to be effective today.
Exactly, and, right. I think that may have been a criticism, whether it was fairly or not, but a criticism that had been brought against Foresight in the past. And I think perhaps what we're seeing now is they're responding to that by being very, very down-to-earth and industry-focused and kind of what some people might consider to be more reality-focused in what they're talking about than, you know, some of the more fanciful and speculative stuff that we all enjoy that would have shown up earlier.
Well, you know, they're not there for our entertainment. They're there to actually make a difference today. So, I don't blame them at all for that.
That's exactly right. Another thing I'd like to talk about is the exercise that they're going through at the conference that Christine referenced, this notion of an XPRIZE for nanotechnology. I thought maybe, Stephen, that you and I might come up with a few good ideas for that one. If anyone's listening, maybe they can spread the word back at the conference, and we can get our ideas in anyway. What if you were going to award an XPRIZE for nanotechnology? What kind of advances would you be looking for?
Well, you know, the components to Drexler's nanofactory.
Okay.
You know, have you seen the animation that Drexler has put up on at several different locations on the web? Regarding the nanofactory.
Yeah, in fact, I'm pretty sure you can get that one off foresight.org also.
Right. I mean, that nanofactory can be broken down into lots of components, obviously. What I would do, if it were me, I would simply award, make different awards for each component. You know, if you're able to precisely place atoms with this certain level of precision, and you're able to scale that up to where you're not just talking about one atom, but you're talking about many. You know, at certain different levels, you'd award different prizes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And so, incrementally, as you award each one of these prizes, you get closer and closer to the assembler.
That's right. And we're not talking about a general assembler here or anything that's particularly spooky or bizarre. The nanofactory is a little bit more down to earth than what Drexler had been contemplating 10 or 15 years back. But still, it would still be something that, you know, would be earth-shattering, you know.
Absolutely. That would be a huge breakthrough. Certainly as big, if not bigger, than what Spaceship One accomplished in winning the Space X Prize, right? The original, the real X Prize. Now, another approach I thought that might be interesting would be, what if, since they're talking about doing a series of these, what if they did an X Prize for accomplishments in various fields using nanotech? For example, if someone could demonstrate a nanotechnological method of cleaning up water, right? Because one of the big advances we're looking for is how nanotech is going to help us protect the environment, right? Or
right.
another one maybe that does go toward the assembler, or say another one like a medical breakthrough. In fact, one of the stories that we linked to in the most recent Carnival of Tomorrow on the Speculist was this brain cancer treatment story, and I'll draw your attention to one paragraph that I thought was really interesting. It says that the drugs being used are selective and that they target only cancer cells, that the drug actually contains a tumor-targeting molecule that docks on the surface of cancer cells. So this is truly a breakthrough in nanomedicine. This is the beginning.
If it's only delivering the medicine to the cancer, then it's not giving you side effects then.
Exactly, and that's what they talk about in
less
the rest
medicine
of the article.
And it's less medicine and more effective.
Yeah, extremely effective because it's just this molecule that's going to attach right to the tumor and kill it. So I would, if they were doing an X Prize for different fields of nanotechnology, nanomedicine being one of them, I would say, well, here might be a candidate, right? Because already we're seeing nanomedicine in effect. And I think the fact is, if they were to do it that way, they would find that there are already probably in a lot of these fields good, strong candidates for the prize. And maybe if we just raise the bar a little bit higher, make it just a little bit harder to do than what's currently happening, it could help drive some really exciting research in medicine, environment, manufacturing, a lot of different areas.
Hey, another pet project of mine is the space elevator. How about we have an X Prize for those who can produce carbon nanotubes of a certain strength and length?
That sounds like a good idea, since we've already seen a recently demonstration of a self-climbing elevator, which was referenced, I believe, in our most recent Better All the Time. So I'm getting my speculous plugs in here. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I have. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. Let's toot our own horn here.
That's right. But since we've got the elevator, now all we need is a nice long carbon ribbon from, of nanotubes, right?
So that's right, from space back down to Earth. So yeah, we're going to have a lot of them, and it's going to have to be a very long structure. So yeah, we got to scale up our ability to manufacture these things, and they've got to be strong. Theoretically, they can be strong enough, but getting them strong and being able to produce them in quantity, which we're not there yet, and I think that'd be an excellent X Prize as well.
That would be a good one. Well, I think that does it for this installment of Fast Forward Radio. You want to do the wrap up there, Steve?
Well, Phil, I appreciate you getting Christine Peterson, visiting with her and being able to get this interview, and we look forward to these other interviews that you've got planned for the future. Who else do you have that you're going to be visiting with here?
Well, I spoke to Ray Kurzweil about doing an audio interview with Ramona to follow up, Ramona being his artificially intelligent, alter ego. So we'll be doing an audio interview with her, and then to follow up with that, we'll be doing an interview with Ray Kurzweil himself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll also be talking to Dave Goebel from the Methuselah Mouse Prize, and we have several other possible surprise guests coming up as a result of some conversations I had at Accelerating Change. But we'll keep that quiet for now until we've got dates around some of those.
Well, thank you, Phil, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Stephen, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.